Finally got my dad back, liver back, he wouldn't live long. Snatched my dad back, guidance I never had that. Streets was my second home, welcomed me with open arms. Provided a place to crash at, a place to study mad fact. Matter of fact, I learned it all, burnt it all. This music is where I buried the ashes at. Flashback, not having much, not having that. I had to get some holler bread so you can holler back at. Holler that my Jewish lawyer to enjoy the fruit of it in my cash stack. And just in case a nigga got the uses, own boss, own your masters, slaves, the mentality I carry with me to this very day. Fuck rich, let's get wealthy. Who else gon' feed me? If I need it, I'ma get it. However, God help me.
All right, everybody, welcome to CADcast episode 154. I am CheapED, and I am in Tokyo, Japan.
And I am Wombat, and I am in Massapequa, Long Island, still.
That's almost as exotic and exciting as Tokyo, Japan. I'd say it's like number three.
Yeah, it is. That's how it ranks. It goes, it's Tokyo, Japan would be number one, is the most exotic place in the world.
Yes.
Followed very, very shortly behind by Milan, Italy.
Yes.
And then after that is Massapequa, Long Island.
Yep. Exactly where I'm at. Well, we've got a huge show for our listeners today. I'm in a good mood, unlike last week. Remember last week I came on, I was all pissed off because I woke up and the first thing I found was an email from YouTube telling me that they pulled my Love Hotel video.
And I do remember. I didn't know if you were waiting for a response from me or not.
No, I'm just pausing for dramatic effect.
Oh, I see. Okay. Go, please, go on.
Continue to pause. So I said I was going to complain. I had met a guy from YouTube, like a YouTube community manager in their Japan branch, and I had met him at a networking event, and I contacted him, and I was like, yo, what's up? You're pulling my videos.
You were pulling your status, as it were.
No, I wasn't pulling my status. I happened to meet this guy. I got his business card. He knew me because I'm one of the most subscribed YouTubers in Japan, basically because YouTube's not that popular here, not because I'm that great or anything.
You are the hard gay of Japan.
Hard gay is from Japan.
Oh,
hard gay is completely gone. By the way, he's one of those types of characters. They last for a brief moment because they're so overdone. They appear on every TV show known to man here, like every night of the week. So they last about a few months tops. Anyway, so I wrote this guy. I said, look, you pulled my Love Hotel video was pulled. The video of myself taking a bath with Ty, no nudity, no cursing. I don't understand why my videos are being pulled. I looked up their community rules, their and terms, and they're in compliance with that. What's going on? And he wrote me back, and the videos are both of the videos are back online. So I was very happy about that. And of course, I mentioned I had a great weekend because I started off the weekend at the next version of the networking event that I met this YouTube guy at. And this is an event, it's called Tokyo CGM, and it's run by Danny Chu. Do you know who Danny Chu is?
He's the son of Jimmy Chu.
He is the son of Jimmy Chu, actually.
You've talked about him like five times.
No, I'm sure I did not talk about him five times.
Yeah, at least five times. I'm gonna
maybe
say
one time. I bet I talked about him one time. Anyway, he runs DannyChu.com, which is a website that if you're into perverted Japanese anime figures, they feature a lot of that on there, and also just general Japan, interesting Japan stuff. And he takes a lot of pictures. He dresses up, and he's known sort of for dressing up in a stormtrooper outfit and dancing around Tokyo. Which is
his father must be proud.
Well, he's actually very successful. And I think that he doesn't even like people to know that Jimmy Chu is his father because I don't think his father had anything to do with his success. He's worked for companies like Amazon and Microsoft, and I doubt Jimmy Chu has got much pull with Microsoft. It's a shoe in the shoe business. There's not much
you
crossover.
You never
there.
Know.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
You never
he's know. He's one of those A-type personalities that you could tell works his ass off and does like a million blog posts a day and, always doing anything. Anyway, so he throws these networking events every month, and I went with Jon Snow, and we drank a lot of beer. We met the number one YouTube. Oh, actually, she's not number one, but the number two YouTube person in Japan is this girl Emily. She does Apple Milk, I think is her YouTube name, something Apple Milk, and she's very popular. And she's also very skinny. I don't know if you've watched her videos, but I'm very worried about her. She seems like she needs to eat something.
I honestly have no idea who that is.
Well, you're not. Yeah, I don't know either. But I know for I know from her videos.
Well, thanks for bringing it up.
I know for seeing her in person, she needs to eat something. I also that was Friday, and because I had this networking event, we got Osaka Grandma to come into town. So because my wife had some work-related things she needed to go to. So Osaka Grandma came in to take care of Ty. And then on Saturday, we got Osaka Grandma to stay at our apartment alone with Ty while the wife and I went out, and we stayed out all night. We stayed at a love hotel again.
Woo, but another video?
There's no video because, see, that crazy love hotel that we went to was in Osaka, and I don't know if Tokyo has crazy ones like that. And the area that we went to, I think, definitely doesn't have it. But we went to a pretty nice one, and it had some cool stuff in the room. It had a full karaoke system with speakers in the ceiling. But unfortunately, because it was at nighttime, they limit the volume. The volume is automatically limited, so you can't really rock out that hard. They also had a satellite radio, so you could. They had like hundreds of channels, and you could even get American channels, like WPLJ and stuff like that, which is pretty weird. In fact, if you're following me on Twitter, you would already know about that because I posted that I was listening to Rock of Ages right after I had sex on my Twitter account. So if you followed me on Twitter, twitter.com/GBD, you would know this already.
I must have missed that particular tweet.
Yes, and I also updated you, and when I got the tip in, I was like, yes. It's going in.
Yeah.
So I always like to keep my fans up to date on everything. I'm trying to think what else the room had. Oh, the room, it looked just like a normal hotel room, except for the karaoke machine, the vending machine that sells underwear and sex devices, and also there was a vibrator built into the headboard of the bed, like on a cable, so you could use that if you wanted to.
That's creepy.
Well, they put like a plastic shower cap, like a mini shower cap on the head of it, so it's sanitary-ish, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't use it. We didn't use that.
So you didn't use the crab machine that came with the hotel?
the crab injector?
Yeah.
No, we didn't use that. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, there was a slot machine in the room, which was weird. I opened up one of the closets, and there was a slot machine inside.
There was a slot machine on your bed, too.
Right, and it paid off, I'm telling you. I did, like, right in the middle of the banging, I banged my head really hard on the headboard. I almost knocked myself unconscious. But it sort of ruined the moment. But I was pretty much done anyway at that point. So what else? So that was my Saturday night, and that was awesome. And it's so amazing, these love hotels, and how they have to help facilitate men cheating on their wives, because that's pretty much what they're there for. Because Japan is sort of known as a place where people don't get laid, or at least like people don't have sex with their spouse. So my wife was telling me that. And I couldn't actually find the radio station, but she was telling me that these satellite radios actually have dedicated channels to help you lie to your wife. So if you're gonna call your wife from the love hotel, there's a channel that sounds just like you're inside a pachinko parlor, you know, with like all the balls, you know, and the noise and everything. So you can call your wife from the love hotel, put on the pachinko channel, and be like, "Oh, I'm at the pachinko. I'm playing pachinko. Gonna be home late, honey."
Ding, ding.
Exactly.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, or like a bar, just like all this like ambient noise. Which I couldn't
yeah,
I'll find
another one. Yeah, just keep playing. Yeah, just whatever. Hold on, that's great.
I thought that was pretty wild, and also like to sort of save your privacy. There's no when checking in and out of the hotel. You have no contact with anybody working at the hotel, even when you're paying, when you're getting the room, you walk up to a touchscreen when you're checking in, and you can see pictures of all the rooms that are available and the prices. And you just hit the touchscreen for which room you want, and it prints out a little receipt telling you the room number. And you go up to the room, and we went up to the sixth floor or whatever it was, and you find the room number, and the number is flashing on the door. And you just go inside, and then that's your room. And then when it's time to check out, there's an actual, vending machine right outside of the door. There's a foyer in the room. So in the foyer, there's a vending machine, and you pay through the vending machine. So you put the room was $170 or something. It's pretty expensive, I know. But you pay that in a vending machine.
Now, and you stayed overnight, or you only stayed for a couple of hours?
No, we stayed overnight. Overnight. That's the full night stay, which is sort of expensive for a love hotel. It's pretty expensive for a love hotel. But this is one,
Do you get USA Today with that?
You didn't get USA Today, no. You don't get any newspaper, you get some free condoms, though.
No breakfast?
There's definitely no breakfast in these types of places. But I don't know. It's pretty wild. The whole thing is pretty amazing. I didn't take a video because I don't know. I don't want to have my whole life doesn't need to be on video. And sometimes I just want to have fun, and I don't want.
No, it doesn't need to be on video, but audio, that's just fine.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, it'd be the most exciting 2 minutes of audio you've ever heard. Especially when I bang my head at the minute 45-second mark.
Yes, and then at 15 seconds after that, it's you trying to find that pachinko station just so you can say you heard it.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was my weekend. That's what's going on with me. What about you, Wombat?
I didn't really have that exciting a weekend. I mean, I honestly couldn't even tell you one thing I actually did this weekend. But I came home yesterday from work, and the first thing I do when I come home from work is I turn on my laptop, usually to check work email, because usually something happens.
The MacBook that you bought last year, right? You bought a MacBook last year.
Yes, the MacBook that I'm using right now. Mm-hmm. And I turn it on, and it makes a really angry noise.
Uh-oh.
And then a file folder shows up in the center of the screen with a question mark in it that just keeps blinking.
That's the Apple version of the blue screen of death.
Basically, I'm like, this can't be good. So, of course, I call Apple support. Mm-hmm. First guy that picks up is some dude named Eric.
Hello, my name is Eric. Thank you for calling Apple.
Pretty much. So Eric asked me what my serial number is, and I said, well, where would I find the serial number? He goes, well, it'll be right in that icon on your computer. I'm like, the thing won't start. How do I get my serial number? And he goes, and then he hung up on me.
You're kidding.
Nope. So I call back.
Thank you. Come again.
And this time I got some dude named Paul, and Paul was very helpful, and he just looked up my name and email address and was able to get all the information on my computer, which I've registered.
Ah, okay.
So once he had all my information and he knew that I had the extended plan, he was able to walk me through all my problems over the phone.
Well, your computer's probably still covered under the one year thing.
Not on the phone. The phone you only get for 90 days.
Oh, okay.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. Okay, so he helped you out through the phone.
He helped me. We fixed the computer over the phone. He was really cool.
How do you fix that?
You put in your boot up disk, and then there's what happened was is that my computer didn't think it had a hard drive installed anymore. So we had to remind the computer that the hard drive was installed.
My wife forgets that I have a hard drive installed sometimes. Sometimes it takes her a week or so to remember.
She just doesn't want to remember.
Right. She's trying to forget.
Exactly. So I did that, and that was taken care of. Paul, very friendly, big PlayStation 3 fan. So I want to give a shout out to Paul, who loves
PS3. How do you know that?
We talked about video games the whole time.
Oh. Did you tell him to listen to the CADcast?
Yeah. And he's going to start listening to the show.
Right.
And if Paul didn't help me fix my computer, we wouldn't be doing a show tonight. So thank you, Paul.
It's all on Paul. All right.
And let's see, what else? The other thing I want to bring up, and this is probably maybe might go under housekeeping, but we'll bring it up now because people have been asking. Mm-hmm. Want to talk a little bit about where we are with Joust.
Now, refresh my memory. What happened? Last week you said you wanted to, You wanted me to buy the Joust license for Midway because Midway's auctioning off stuff, or what? I don't even know what's happening.
I don't even know either, but I figure, you know, why not take our offer?
What is our offer?
I think our offer, I mean, well, I'd have to discuss that with you. You know, how much
right.
how much you're willing to pay for Joust. The right. other thing, of course, I did send them an email.
Mm-hmm.
I sent an email.
Now, who do you send an email to, exactly?
To investorrelations@midway.com.
That's not wrong. That's the wrong people. But okay.
You think so?
Yeah, investor relations is like if you want examples of their samples of their annual report and stuff.
Well, still it doesn't matter because no one responded to me.
Right. Okay.
Now surprise, I sent you the surprise. Email before I sent it, but if we make a long story short, I still have not heard back from anyone at Midway.
Shocking. So
if anyone at Midway is listening, we want to know how much it would cost to buy Joust.
Yeah, Wombat wants to know.
I've already discussed interested. With some professionals who will help put together a new Joust game.
Oh yeah, which professionals would that be?
That would be Super Programmer John and Whip Smart Banky.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, we've got the dream team.
I think that's a great... Who wouldn't want a game made by... And, of course, Shipwreck would help me pen the script.
So Joust has a script now?
Yes, it would have a script. Oh, yeah, there's a whole thing I'm thinking. This is no small project.
I didn't know.
And now you know. Now here's the other thing that I'm trying to throw into the community. I think that if we harass Jimmy Fallon, host of Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, enough, right. you and I could be guests on the show.
I don't.
I know you don't because you're a negative Nancy.
I think the only thing that's going to happen if you harass Jimmy Fallon is that he's going to get a restraining order against you.
Well, that would be cool too. right. His username on Twitter is Jimmy Fallon, all one word, Jimmy Fallon. And I had our community members tweet him last week saying recommending the show. Of course, it was also the same day that he was on Oprah, so it was probably a bad day to do it. So I'm saying maybe this, tomorrow's Thursday, maybe this Friday we do it again.
Good luck, everybody.
Yes, the all-out Jimmy Fallon Blitz. Try and get Cheap ED on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Right.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. Good luck. Good luck. You think they're going to pay to fly me in? I would even pay my own airfare. I don't care.
And you would, too, to be on
I would.
A multi-million viewed show on network television.
Yeah. I don't know about how many viewers they have, but I would do it anyway. I mean, it's in New York, right?
It has like 20 million viewers. It's like doing ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sure it has 20 million viewers. Okay. Wombat's living
okay,
in a
so
dream
I honestly
world.
I have no idea how many people watch it, but it was in Variety. I think he's topped the competition. He's number one for his time slot.
What time is that again?
12:30.
Awesome. That's a great time slot. Okay, let's go on to some show feedback from last week. There was a ton of replies in the CADcast thread, almost 250, which makes going through them all and pulling out stuff I want to read on the show quite time consuming. But I'm going to do my best. First comment comes from Chernobyl Cow, who says, does CheapyD have some sort of awful voice filter going on in this thing? His voice is god-awful deep and annoying. Not sure if I'm missing something. Can't even listen to this cast.
I think he means me.
I don't know. A filter? My throat, you mean? There's no filter going on. That's how I talk.
You're naturally that deep.
This is how I talk. I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
A manly voice.
I'm a man. I have a manly voice. And in case you don't know, having a deep voice is considered good for radio and fake radio.
Which is what we have.
Which is what we're doing. Now, I mean, I don't know how I'm supposed to talk. Like, what am I supposed to do? I can't even get out of the deep voice, even if I try.
Don't talk like that. No, that doesn't work.
I know. There's no way around it. I have a deep voice. It's, you know, you should hear me, like, if I smoke, what my voice sounds like. You can't even hear it. It can only be heard by whales. All right. We also talked a lot about the latest Indiana Jones movie, which a lot of our listeners really enjoy talking about in the show threads. Maggoty says, I think the problem with Indy 4 is that we've all grown older. I personally have the same thoughts as you about the new Indy compared to the old ones, but little kids today think the new Indy is awesome. That's what I'm hearing from my friends' kids. Staying alive in a fridge from an atomic blast is the same difference as the Ark melting some evil Nazi's face. It's just that as kids, we believed it and thought it was awesome, whereas now, surviving a nuclear bomb in a fridge is just stupid. I bet if we were kids and watched the new one, it would be super cool. Now, McCalvert 1 had a response to that, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. He says, I disagree on your comparison. Sure, the Ark's power is not realism, but it's supposed to be magical, mystical, whatever. The fridge is not magical. It's magical. It's just a fridge. Behold the power of the Almighty holds a little more weight than behold the power of lead. Yeah, and it wasn't just that he survived the blast in the fridge. It was that the fridge was thrown, like, 1,000 feet in the air and, you know, and he just got out of it. He would have been, you know, he would have been mashed potatoes at that point.
That, and when Raiders of the Lost Ark was relatively new and it was being shown on TV for the first time, I was still a very small child. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching that movie with my dad for the first time. And when the guy's faces were about to get melted, my father, knowing me, being his son and all, knew that I would probably get nightmares watching it, and he was probably right. So he would make me hide my eyes and turn my head during that scene, just like everyone else in the movie.
Right.
So, I mean, there's something to that, Nick. You know, it was very interactive for me. That was an interactive experience for me. So,
yeah,
and,
I sort of remember that too, actually, yeah.
You can't do that with Indy in the fridge.
Well, you want to turn your head for a different reason. Just
exactly.
To avoid the stupidity.
And the majority of my problems of it were I really felt that the special effects that they had in the movie were very – the CGI was some of the worst looking CGI I've ever seen. Coming from Industrial Light and Magic is pathetic.
And it wasn't – it was like CGI for no reason.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, you know, that's never good. Let's see. You Sick and Me had a bunch of good comments. He says, good show. Wombat's undertone of I Could Be Shaq Food – was a painful yet sad reminder of the world in which we find ourselves. Best of luck in keeping your gay job. I'll tell you how you can tell the economy is so bad right now because I was listening to an episode of Stern from, I guess it was last week, and they do this thing called the Mexican delivery game. Do you know what that is?
I am not, but I'm sure you'll tell me right now.
They order like a sandwich or something from the local deli, and the Mexican guy comes, delivers the sandwich. And they bring them right into the studio. And in the studio are porn stars. And they tell the guy, okay, look, we can give you a $25 tip. Or, instead of the tip, you can rub the porn star's tits. Or, you know, you can spank her ass or something like that. And every time before this last week's time they did it, the Mexican guy has gone for the porn star. Even when the tip got up there, like $100, they always took the porn star.
Really? I would still go with the money?
And this time, well, these guys are horny guys, I guess. And this time, they had two guys up, and they both took the money. And that's never happened before. So that's how you can tell the economy is in a bad place right now. You Sick and Me goes on to say, personally, I liked Indiana Jones 4. I find it funny and reflective of our religious bias that people will accept the premise of Raiders and Indy 3 is perfectly okay, but somehow aliens are out of line. Come on. Yeah, I know what he means by that. Like, I didn't think that the aliens was really a particular problem with the show. It's similar. You Sick and Me's point is similar to, like, the people making fun of, remember when Tom Cruise had like that Scientology video or something like that, and people were just like ripping on him relentlessly because, you know, Scientology is so silly and stuff because there's aliens and whatever. I don't know. It sounds just as ridiculous to me as that there's a magical guy in the sky who, you know, has supreme power over all of us, yet most of the time chooses to do nothing. You know, just as silly, Wombat.
I guess it is. I think aliens in an Indiana Jones movie doesn't work, but what do I know?
Right. I think it's just a little out of place.
I think what they did, I think why people get annoyed is that you kind of establish a theme with Indiana Jones where there's something that ties the three movies together. I'll put on my film studies hat. The Indiana Jones story from film to film is about man's acceptance of theology in his life. So in the first movie, and really throughout the three movies, he doesn't really believe in religion at all himself. yet his exposure to it causes him to believe in a higher power slower and slower throughout the films, even in the second film, where he even gets experience with another religion, you know, with the rocks and Kali Ma. So when you go to the fourth movie, and instead of progressing the character and his own spiritual discovery, and you take a left turn and you make it about aliens, throwing away everything that he's learned as a man in the last three films, you destroy the theme of the films, and that's the problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, remember what he says in the fourth movie? He still has the statement where he says, "Oh, that's just an old myth. That's just an old wives' tale." I mean, he's gone through all these crazy adventures where all these wives' tales have turned out to be true. Why does he keep thinking that, you know, they're still not true stories?
A boat with two of each animal on it? That's preposterous. Where's my chalice?
Right. It's pretty weird.
Although I think that would have been a better movie. Indiana Jones and the Lost Noah's Ark.
The bigger arc.
Exactly.
Floating one. Also, last week we talked about PSP2 rumors and what we would like to see in a PSP2 and all that good stuff. Walt J. says, "I agree that Sony should go the UMD-less route for the PSP2. Just add another analog nub, make the wireless features robust, and stuff as much HDD capacity as you can in it. Sony really needs to embrace the Steam, iTunes, whatever model of download only for their games, or at least make it an option if they don't want to screw over retail stores." Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that's sort of the key to success, especially for a handheld device. I mean, you look at the iPhone. It's got like 6,000 games on it right now. It takes 2 seconds to get a game. A lot of the games are like $1 or $2. And you know, they're pretty decent quality, a lot of them. I mean, I can't imagine you're going to feel ripped off spending $1 or $2 on a game. And I think a lot of them, you'll be pretty pleasantly surprised.
Well, see, that brings us back to my question from last week. Do you think the best strategy for Sony is to compete with the iPhone and the DS, or to forge their own niche market for people who already own an iPhone or a DS?
So here's the thing. All the rage right now is like the casual customer, okay? That's why the Wii is so popular. That's why Microsoft is trying so hard to turn, I mean, and unsuccessfully so, trying so hard to turn the Xbox 360 into like a more casual friendly device with the, you know, the avatars, new Xbox experience and stuff like that. I would be surprised if Sony or anybody goes the route in the other direction, which I think would be a good idea, because hardcore gamers need love too. And although we're a smaller audience than the casual audience, we probably buy a hell of a lot more games. So like, if I'm Microsoft, I cut out this avatar nonsense now. And I don't mean like I'm opposed to avatars, but I mean that whole philosophy that we need to be more like the Wii. We need to be more like the DS. If I'm Microsoft, I'm saying, screw it. We're never going to get that market. We're never going to convince a soccer mom to buy an Xbox, no matter how many avatars we have. Let's say we're not getting that audience and go after the hardcore gamers, the guys who are going to buy 2 or 3 games a month. You know, I think it's, but they'll never do that. It's, you know, they just see the Wii as selling so many systems, and they don't realize that they'll never reach that success. It's the same thing, like, you know, with the Zune. Like, the Zune will never steal an Apple iPod customer away. You know, it's silly. It's very silly. Let's see, Wombat. What else? We have a lot of comments here. Oh, let me read this comment. This comment comes from Jesus's Bush. That's a little bit offensive. I guess I made a comment on last week's show. Was I complaining on last week's show that our listenership wasn't going up, or we didn't have enough listeners or something?
Probably. I mean, we don't, so, you know, it hoots.
It's an ongoing theme.
Yes, it is an ongoing yes.
So Jesus's Bush writes in, he says, "I think one of the main reasons your show doesn't have the number of listeners that Rebel FM and
it's
et cetera,
actually Jesus's Bush.
I said Jesus's Bush.
You said Jesus Bush. That would be
no.
That
okay,
would be
I said
the,
it right.
The
Stop interrupting me. I'm reading Jesus's Bush's messages. I think that one of the main reasons your show doesn't have the number of listeners that Rebel FM et cetera do is because you guys don't play games. In almost every episode, In every episode, each of you only play one real game, not counting DLC or demos. Pick up a few games and play them an hour or so each and post your thoughts as you progress through the game. Blah, 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 blah. He also says we should bring back the old game you should pick up cheap segment and blah, blah. And don't skip shows ever. Okay. Let me tell you something. The reason why we don't have the number of listeners as Rebel FM and other shows has nothing to do with the number of games we play. Okay? The reason, and this is not meant as an insult to Rebel FM or any of the other shows I'm about to insult. No, I mean talk about. The reason why they have so many listeners is because the hosts of the show are all coming from another show where they were on a large corporately owned website where they had way more traffic than we did. Okay? I mean, they're all from 1UP. 1UP was a huge site. It probably has 10 times the traffic that CAG has. So of course they're going to have more listeners. They made a lot of fans over there. And of course they're going to bring over their fans, or at least some of their fans, to their new show. And if you go to iTunes, okay, and you go into the video game podcast section and you look at the top 25 shows, video game shows, which I'm looking at right now, I would say 99% of them are either shows that are coming off a big corporately owned website, shows where the hosts previously worked for a big, you know, a corporately owned website, you know, or had a show on one and either got fired or left or whatever and did a new show. And that's pretty much it. You know, the only shows, in fact, it's very easy. There's like three shows in the top 25 that don't meet those qualifications. And you got to really like give those people some props, because it's pretty hard to do if you're not coming off a huge website, especially one that, you know, is owned by a big company. You look at Sarcastic Gamer, they're always in the top 25. In fact, I think sometimes they even have more than one show in there. And their website is not a huge website, but their podcast is huge. You got Penny Arcade, which of course is huge. And
that's huge.
All around. That's huge, but, you know, not a corporately owned website, just started by two guys. And you know what? You got some World of Warcraft ones, The Instance and like BlizzCast. And that's pretty much it. The rest are all X-Play, 1UP, you know, you got Giant Bomb, you know, which is from GameSpot, people from GameSpot. You got Rebel FM, people from 1UP. You got Geekbox, people from 1UP. MTV's podcasts. You got us bringing up the rear, number 25, Wombat.
Woohoo, yeah, look at that. There we are, number 25.
Yeah, so that's the reason why we don't have the number of listeners. And so props to, I don't know, that wasn't meant as a slight to anybody. I'm just telling you, you know, I'm just giving people an idea of the big picture here, okay? So let's not get carried away with ourselves. Also, we got some UK love from Crimson Chin. He says, hey guys, awesome episode as usual. I doubt you'll ever read so far. Blah, blah, blah. I just want to say how much I appreciate the effort you make for your UK visitors. Your accents need a little work in this episode, but usually we Brits are pushed to the back of the shelf or just completely forgotten. So thanks for making the effort, especially since you're located in Japan and the US and you don't have any obvious motive for doing so. Well, I actually do have an obvious motive for
doing
so.
What does it mean, my accent's no good? I think my accent's pretty good.
See, now that's your John Lennon, I guess.
Yeah, it was a little John. Yeah, that was...
People complain that our accents were Cockney and not British. So I can tell you've adjusted, Wombat.
I have. I can throw all sorts of different accents, and they all sound like me doing different accents.
They all sound like you doing Bill Cosby.
Yes.
Or John Lennon.
or John Lennon doing Bill Cosby.
Right. I was saying we do have a reason.
I would really like to have a jello pudding pulp.
That's pretty good. That's impressive, actually.
Thanks.
You know, we do have Cheap Ars Gamers. If you go to cheapassgamer.com and you're from the UK, you'll get all you different UK content. So you should definitely do that. And if by some reason you are in the UK and you do not see, you know, the name of the site doesn't change to Cheap Ars Gamer and you don't see UK content, you should register an account and you can change in your options, you know, just to force it to show you UK content. I think we're going to have a button on the front page to make that more easy to find. Or you can just, if you email me at cheapd@cheapassgamer.com, I'll take care of it for you. One last thing, somebody complaining about you, Wombat. AGM1240 says, man, Wombat can get really uppity sometimes, can he? Braid is not worth $15. Braid is not worth $10. I don't want to use my brain. I hate fun. Blah, blah, blah. What a crotchety young man. By the time Wombat is 40, he will be the Unabomber.
All those statements are true. Okay, let's move on to Keg Newsish.
I say that by the time he's 35, he'll be the equivalent of, he'll be the Junibomber. Rimshot.
Yeah, no one's laughing.
All right, let's go on to some CAG news-ish. By the time you are listening to this show, you will probably notice some new features on the CAG website, which we are categorizing as general deal improvements. The goal, one of the goals of the new site or the new feature set is to better organize the deals on the site. So if you only own an Xbox 360, and you only want to see Xbox 360 deals, you'll be able to do that. So we're implementing some changes in the site.
So you can see only 360 deals now.
What do you mean? I own everything. You little bastard. So basically what you'll be able to do is, well, and one of the things that'll be added is that you'll be able to vote thumbs up and thumbs down on any deal that you see. So people can get a quick idea of how hot a deal is.
You know, that was my number one missing feature from the website.
No, I'm sure it wasn't. You little bastard. Stop it, dude.
I will not. What? Go ahead. Go, be professional. I'm sorry.
You're throwing me off here, Wombat.
Something about deal thumbs.
Okay. Also, so like I said, the point is that people will be able to filter deals. So we'll be able to assign those different categories to deal posts in the forums. But also there's a deal section right now. It's operational. If you click on the deals button on the nav bar, you'll be taken to a page that only shows you deals, and you can filter the stuff from that page. So now we're making some improvements to that where you can put things in multiple groups, and that should help. Also, we're adding a new super search bar, Wombat, to the site, and that's
so
why
a
we have
search
to, we have
that
to put
actually
this other
works
stuff in.
Is what you mean.
No. Well, it's a smart search. Okay, so you'll be able to look up games, members, prices, reviews, anything on the site basically from this search bar. So if I want to find out Gears of War 2 prices, I can just type in Gears of War 2 prices and it will take me right to the Gears of War 2 price page, and you'll get a list of all the prices from different retailers. If I want to see Wombat's blog, I can type in Wombat blog and it'll take me right to your blog. If I want to just type in, you know, any member's name, it'll take me right to their profile page. If I want to call Wombat at 4 o'clock in the morning, I could just type in call Wombat and Wombat's phone will ring. Now, that only works for Wombat.
Only me.
Yeah. We're going to have a number of just Wombat-only features. So if you want to order a pizza to Wombat's house,
You go to the front page of the site and you look at our team, it has your name and all the moderators' name, but I'm not a member of the team.
Shut up. That's right, Wombat, you're not. That's the team. That's for forum moderators. You don't want that job.
Whatever. I want to be
I can
part
change
of the
that.
Team.
I will give you your own section.
I would like that. Thank you.
All right. I will do something for you. Remind me later. I'll double dip Shipwreck and put him in a podcast section too.
And don't forget Mrs. Shipwreck as well.
I won't forget her. Who could forget her?
Probably Shipwreck.
Also, collections, wish lists, the game database pages, and are coming out of beta. Well, they'll still be in beta, I guess, but everybody will be able to access them, even if you're not in the beta program. And if you are in the beta program, the trading system will be going live soon. Woo! So that's the wrap-up of what's going on with the CAG website. A lot of exciting stuff. Everything will be continued to be improved, so even if you see something new and you say, oh, this isn't so great, don't fret, we will make it better. Last week we had a contest giving away the Halo 3 Mythic Mat Pack. And that comes from Ron Workman and Bungie. And the winner of that is Wii Heat. So hopefully Wii Heat doesn't just own a Wii and has an Xbox 360, because you will be getting a Mythic map code. Ron says that he's working on his podcast for Cad.
Excellent. I can't wait.
Because Dub Fulio wrote in and wanted to know what was going on with Ron's podcast. And he also says that you've been on top of your game lately, Wombat.
I have been.
Ron ran by some potential guests that he was going to have on his show, and they were A-list guests, Wombat.
A-list?
A-list video game guests.
Well, he hasn't asked me yet, so how A-list could it really be?
You're deep minus at best. You have your own show. You don't need to be on Ron's show.
No, it's a good show, too. You should start listening to it.
What's it called?
The Wombat Hour, of course.
Right. Okay. Where can we find that?
Actually, it's called Up All Night with Wombat. Right. It's you can only find it on iTunes between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. And then they actually take it down.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's why it's called Up All Night with Wombat. And it's usually me, and I will go out on the street and try to find people that are awake at that time, and we chit chat about important events, usually politics.
It sounds a lot like that Dave Attell show.
I do remember that show.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, let's last piece of CAG news-ish. We did the CAGcast game night again on Sunday night at, what was it, 9 p.m. Eastern time?
Yes, it was.
And we played Killzone 2, and we had a lot of fun. I like to be the medic, and I have the health pack thing, so it's like I get really excited about throwing the health packs around, and I like to talk shit. Even though I'm just talking to my teammates, I like to talk shit about throwing the health packs at them. So I'll be like, bam, take a health pack, bitch. They love it. The kids love it.
Did you notice that we killed each other at the same time three times?
That happens a lot in that game. The whole Rocky thing.
Yeah. So what are we playing this weekend? Anything?
We should probably do an Xbox 360 game this time, because we did Killzone 2 twice in a row. I don't know. I mean, we could do like Rainbow Six, Vegas 2. I mean, some people requested Left 4 Dead, but you can only get 8 people in
there. Yeah, it's too small. I mean, we'd have to have a bunch of rooms and... Yeah.
I don't know. We'll post something in the... Check out the CADcast forum. But it'll be Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. All right, Wombat, let us do... some new releases. Because there are new releases this week, Wombat.
There are, a bunch.
I don't see that there's a new CAG 4 play.
Releases. There's too much basketball, girls basketball coaching to be done.
I see. What are they, in the playoffs or something?
I believe they are, actually.
Oh.
Since you brought it up, I think they are.
That. Well, Shipwreck, I'm sure, is a great coach.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so of course I get this new release list from Shaq News, their video game release list, which is loading very slowly for me right now.
I have it up. What do you want to know about?
I don't know. What do we got this week?
We've got, let's see, we have some PC releases. We have nothing that either one of us really care about. We got SingStar Queen on the PlayStation 2.
Well, the big release this week is Chinatown Wars.
I haven't gotten that Chinatown yet. Wars. I start from the top and work my way down the page.
And you scroll down.
I was only on the Wii. I haven't even gotten past the Wii yet. Talk about Ready to Rumble Revolution.
Yeah.
Where you get to be one. Simon Cowell and punch out Carrot Top.
By the way, going back to SingStar Queen for a second, I love Queen. Queen is one of my favorite bands. I think they're awesome. But I wouldn't think that I could ever sing a Queen song. I mean, there's very few Queen songs that I could possibly be in that ballpark range of Freddie Mercury.
I bet I could probably pull off a pretty mean rendition of Fat Bottom Girls.
Really? I mean, I don't know, man. He had an amazing voice. I don't know why I'm at. So do you want to talk about Chinatown Wars? Because we both played it.
I have it.
Yep.
Do you have it?
I don't have it, but I played it.
Oh, okay. I have it, and here's the positives. It's really good. It's very little to complain about, I'd say, overall for China.
I've got a lot to complain about, but okay.
I'd say it controls fine, and I think it's as good as they're going to get on the DS for Grand Theft Auto. There are a couple of things that they fixed for this game that were problems that I had with the regular game. Like
what?
Like instead of having just the GPS with the orange line or green line, whatever the color may be, on the GPS, and you're just looking down at the other screen the whole time, you can have the line on the street.
Oh, you can?
Yes. And it shows up.
Option
it actually
that?
Shows up as arrows, not lines, but whatever. It's there, and it's awesome.
You have to turn that on?
Yeah, you have to turn it on in the option screen.
Oh, okay.
And it's really badass. Like, it completely... If they patch that into Grand Theft Auto 4, I would finally finish the game, because that's really what that game is missing. And obviously, they figured that out because they put it in the DS version. You also do out there... when in the options menu, there's an option. There's two different brightness settings, and it starts off at the darker setting. You need to turn it up to the second brighter setting in the options. Once you do, you can finally see where the street ends and the walls begin. Because otherwise, forget it.
Oh, okay.
Once you do those two things, I think the driving is very good in the game, control-wise. Mm-hmm. I think that works really well. The on-foot is kind of eh, but I think it's as good as you know, you may get. The problems with the game are the same problems that I probably have with every GTA. You know, it's frustrating when you die in the middle of a 5-minute-long mission.
Right. And I wish they would fix that. That's the problem. That's my biggest problem with the game is that, you know, with the GTA 4 and this one, there's a very high frustration factor. And I don't know why they can't just make it a little more friendly, you know, gamer friendly.
It is very frustrating, at times. I mean,
who plays games to be frustrated? I mean, we're looking for the exact opposite of that. But I don't know, Rockstar likes to stick it in our ass.
Also, do not play this game anywhere near sun, because you won't be able to see anything. A little bit of glare goes a long way on this DS game, because there's so many little things going on the screen at the same time. That you really need to be almost in the dark to play the game.
Huh. Okay.
So that's that.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I just, for me personally, like, I haven't even finished Grand Theft Auto 4 yet. And I don't know. This one seems to have a lot of the same frustrating stuff, as I mentioned. I just don't see myself playing through the game. I don't know. I mean, I can see, like, they're doing some cool stuff with a touchscreen, and you have, like, all these, like, little mini games and stuff, and... You know,
hot wiring cars is actually really fun.
Yeah, it seems like it's really polished, but it just doesn't seem like the type of game that I would be interested in playing on the DS. Like, I'd rather play like Hotel Dusk or, you know, like a game like that, or the Professor Layton. I mean, that seems like a DS game.
So you should pick up Henry Hatsworth.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good. Is that out this week?
That is out this week, and it is. It actually looks like it's really good. It's getting really good reviews. I would like to play that game.
What's the story with that game?
It's a puzzle game, but it's also like a 2D side scroller. I think from what I've gathered, and I could be completely wrong on this, but from what it looks like from the trailer I watched, is when you solve it's almost like a puzzle quest type puzzle thing, and on one on the bottom screen and the top screen is Henry Hatsworth, and when you get your three in a row, that's when he like moves and bounces and shoots things.
Oh, that's cool.
I believe is how it works. If that's not how it is, that's probably how it should be, because that sounds like a really good idea for a game. But according to the trailer I watched, that's the impression they give off. And that looks like a really cool idea. It's a shame we have no contacts at EA that ever send us anything. What's that about?
I don't
about?
Have any contacts anywhere that send me anything.
That's because you're in Japan.
Well, what do you mean? They never say, hey, they never offer to send me something and say, oh, if you pay the shipping, I'll send it your way. We never even get that far.
No, you really don't.
I don't care. I don't care. I can buy my own shit.
There you go.
I don't need freebies. I'm a fucking pimp.
Is that what it is?
Pimp.
Okay, what else got? The other big release this week would probably be Resistance on the PSP.
It's supposed to be good, and I remember seeing it at E3. It was E3, yeah, and it did seem surprisingly good. It seemed like the control, they figured out a way to do the, you know, a third-person shooter, right? It's a third-person shooter, right?
I think so,
yeah. And it seems like they actually figured out a way to make it work with the PlayStation, with the PSP controls. So, pretty cool. So, if you're a fan of Resistance and you're looking for a new PSP game, it sounds like that will work out well for you. Anything else? Trackmania for the DS. There's a bundle of Red Steel and No More Heroes for the Wii. I don't know if you'd really want to play Red Steel, but No More Heroes is supposed to be pretty good. All right, Wombat, let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
Some game shopping news, because there's a ton of game shopping news this week, and there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about. Meanwhile, we're like almost 50 minutes into the show, and we're not even on game shopping news yet.
Oh, my God.
All right, Wombat, I gotta complain right now. So last week, we talked about Resident Evil 5 downloadable content, that it was basically, it got leaked out that there's going to be some downloadable content, multiplayer versus mode in the form of downloadable content. I guess what happened was on the PS3 version, you could see the trophies for the content, and then as soon as you loaded the game up, as soon as you connected to the internet, it patched the game so you couldn't see the trophies anymore. So it basically slipped out. There was a mistake. You weren't supposed to see that there was supposed to be some multiplayer versus downloadable content. But word got out, and I guess Capcom felt that they needed at this point to announce it, even though like the game hadn't even come out yet. And it, with the announcement came the news, or soon after came the news, that this was not free content, that you would have to pay $5 for the online versus mode for Resident Evil 5. Again, you know, I wrote that whole open letter to Capcom about the costumes in Street Fighter 4, and this is worse even. And I don't even care. To me, it's not even important if this is content that's on the disc or not. If you're just downloading an unlock key or something like that, I don't even care about that. I don't think that makes it any, in this situation, I don't think it makes it any, you know, more acceptable or less acceptable. To charge for a mode of the game, which tons of other games, similar games, have this mode included in the package, and it's obviously ready in time for the launch of the game, is complete bullshit. And it's a complete misuse of the Xbox and PlayStation marketplaces. And in fact, Capcom responded to a lot of people, and I'm not alone in thinking this is all, you know, message boards are lighting up everywhere, people are complaining, and so much so that Capcom even responded on their own, they have their own community site, Capcom Unity. And one of the guys responded, this is Christian Svensson, Vice President of Strategic Planning and Business Development for Capcom, responded on their own forums, and this is what he said. This is the part where I get to say BS. RE5 is worth every penny of $60, a huge game with tons of replay value, loads of unlockables, new weapons, co-op, mercenaries mode, etc. If any game warrants its price point, it's RE5. This is where the excuse comes in, Wombat. This is why it's okay for them to charge $5.
Lay it on me.
Secondly, whenever we do product downloadable content, that content exists within its own budgets, its own profit and loss analysis with its own forecasts. If it didn't, that extra content wouldn't have been put into production because it did not fit within the production budget of the base product. The content that is shipping within the full game exists within its own budget. The contest shipping afterward exists within its own budget. And then he goes on to say they want to release it with, you know, close to the launch because that's the sweet spot. All right, Wanda, this is the most ridiculous excuse I've ever heard. They set the budgets for the game. It's their decision to put this down, to make this downloadable content, and their decision to make this downloadable content have its own budget. Nobody's holding a gun to their head and saying, you have to make downloadable content, this downloadable content, you have to make it its own budget. Why could this not just be part of the game and make the budget of the game a little more? It's completely ridiculous. There's no law that says this needs to have its own budget. It's, you know, they've made their own decision, and then they're throwing it in our face and saying, oh, this is why we have to charge you $5 extra, because we decided that it's going to have its own budget and it's going to be its own product.
Basically, yeah, what ridiculous. They're basically saying is, a year ago we decided that we were going to charge you extra for this, so we separated it in our system, in our computer system.
Right.
So exactly. Now that it's separate in the system, we have to charge you for it separately because that's what we decided a year ago.
Right. And this wouldn't exist if we didn't do it this way. But it wouldn't exist because that's how you decided to run your business. It's not because you guys couldn't afford to do it. I'm sure Resident Evil 5 is going to sell fine. I mean, the game costs $60. It's a lot of money. I think you could have squeezed that in there without charging an extra $5. And can you imagine, Wombat? You're a huge Resident Evil fan. So much so that you lay out $90 for the collector's edition. You know, you get some extra junk. You know, some people reporting that even this junk, the junk is broken. You spend $90 on the collector's edition, and then you find out you're not even getting the complete game, that in like a week or so, there's going to be another part of the game released, and it's going to cost you $5 more. I would go ballistic if that happened to me.
It's really going to be very telling to see how many people buy it. You know, it's also really, I mean, in one way, probably the stupidest thing about this is they're really trying a type of multiplayer that's very different because of the way the game controls. Love it or hate it, mm-hmm. It's very different. I happen to like mm-hmm. it. You happen to hate it. That's not the argument. It's a very different style of gameplay, which means no one's ever really played multiplayer like that before in a versus scenario.
Wait, how do you mean? What's so different about it? I don't know. I never said I hated it. I don't know anything about it.
Well, you know, the not being able to run and shoot, basically.
Oh, right. Okay. So, that's how you play first-person shooters.
That is
no
how
wonder
I
why
play
like
first-person
it.
Shooters, because I think every game is Resident Evil. what it comes down to is you're trying a product that no one's ever really played before, and now you want us to pay more for the opportunity to try something, where if you included the mode and people found out, I think it actually might be a lot of fun, but I'm not going to spend $5 for it. Now, if you included a mode like that on the disc, a versus multiplayer on the disc, and it was fun and it did catch on, then you could release new maps and new characters and new weapons for multiplayer, and then you could charge for it because now you're building a base. Now you have something to grow off of. But when you just jump out of the gate and say, you know, here's something that you've never tried before, $5, no demo, and you have to own the game to play it.
It's amazing. And of course, and you know, here's the worst part, Wombat. Let's say you're insane and you decide to spend the $5 on the content. Because other people have to pay $5 also, the amount of the pool of people you have to play against, the available pool of people, is less than that of who own the game. So it's going to be already segmented. You're already punished in a way because this is downloadable content. I spend out the five, you know, the extra $5, but maybe my friends don't want to spend the extra $5. All right, so there's less people I'm going to be able to play against.
Well, and you know, Svensson says it well himself. There is actually plenty of content on the disc where this isn't really warranted. You can play Mercenaries in co-op online also. You can play through the game co-op with a friend. So why am I spending $5 on this? Why do I need it? I agree with him. This game is worth $60. I'm playing it right now. I picked up the game on Saturday. I had enough trading credit to get a copy. And I flat out love the game. There's no mincing it. I love the game. I think it's great. But I'm not going to spend $5 on content that I don't need.
Right.
And content that I don't think other people are going to download. So without anyone to play with, there's no reason to have it.
It's just another example, Wombat. And there, you know, it seems like we always take this out on Capcom, but they're just the latest offenders, okay? And there's many offenders.
Well, we could take it out on EA.
Namco.
Oh, yeah, we have to take it out on EA. We didn't even touch on Hasbro Family Game Room.
Okay, well, we didn't do the downloadable content. So, well, we'll talk about that later. So they're not the only offenders, but the thing that I'm against, Wombat, is that companies are using Xbox Live Marketplace and the PlayStation Store they're exploiting the technology, okay? This is stuff that, you know, that would be included in the games, in the retail product, final retail product, where you wouldn't have to pay extra for it. If there was no way that they could do it, if we didn't have the technology to charge us for it, this stuff would be in the game. Like, EA always releases those, you know, the basically pay cheat codes, okay? And those used to be included in the game for free, but because now they have the technology to charge us for it, they do it. And that's just a misuse of the technology. You know, you look to Valve as somebody who does stuff right. you know, they really support, they take feedback from their community and implement stuff that, you know, after based on suggestions. Even, you know, I think it was Fallout 3, they had planned some downloadable content for the game, but they got a lot of feedback from people on their message boards about what they were more interested in, and they wound up actually scrapping some of their downloadable content and then focusing on what people are asking for. I don't know. It's just bullshit, man. I hate to see it. I hate to see it. And it doesn't matter that it's not an unlock on the disc. I mean, that's just, you know, who gives a shit? They've purposely created something that could have been included in the disc in the final version, wouldn't have pushed back the launch date at all, and they decided to charge you $5 extra for it. That's it, Wombat. That's all I have to
you
say.
You feel
about
better
that.
Now?
No, not really. It's still pretty upsetting, actually.
Well, maybe we'll hear back from. I'm sure you'll hear back from enough people that feel the opposite of you.
There's no excuse. I mean, and that budget thing is bullshit. It's complete bullshit. I'm sure it cost a fortune to develop that extra versus.
Well, you know, they had to use those game assets that, you know, they had to license the rights from the guys down the hall to use those game assets.
Right. Yeah, right. Another sort of Capcom-related item, and this is so interesting that I put it on the front page of CAG, is that CAG Goomba 478 got this Capcom Unity prepaid Visa card, and he posted on his blog how upset he was with the card because he had all these bogus fees on there, and he just felt the whole thing was a big ripoff and was just really upset about
it.
Which it was. He wasn't coming out of left field here. So he posts his complaints on the blog, and like 2 or 3 days later, he gets a phone call from the bank that issues the card. And the guy talks to him on the phone about the problems he's having, and the bank actually winds up changing their fee policies based on Goomba 478's complaints.
Well, really what they were doing was ridiculous. It was a very big scam. There's no way of getting around it. With the way it was before Goomba pointed it out was a scam.
Oh, yeah, it was ridiculous. They charge you for everything. They charge you for, you know, using the card too much, using the card too little. You can only get this, do this type of transaction. If you do this one, they charge you 50 cents. It's like, you know, it's all very confusing, and there's so many different fees and stuff. It's like almost impossible to get a handle on everything. But I thought it was pretty amazing that they, you know, they must actually have like Google alerts set up, and this guy made a blog post that says Capcom Unity card sucks. They found out about it and they followed up on it, which you got to admit is pretty admirable. The guy even wound up posting on, you know, a comment on Goomba's blog. So I got to give props to the West Suburban Bank, the bank that's behind the Capcom Unity card. Check out the front page of CAG if you want to read more about it. I thought it was pretty cool, and Ars Technica picked up on it, and they posted something about it. So that's cool.
Very cool.
Continuing in game shopping news, Joystick had the scoop on this new PlayStation 3 bundle. A lot of rumors going around, and they were sort of reaching ahead that there's going to be a price drop on the PS3. You know, GDC is right around the corner, and people thought that Sony would announce a price drop, but somebody took a picture of this new PlayStation 3 bundle that was at Target and sent it to Joystick, and it looks like this bundle is coming on March 29th, and it includes an 80GB PS3, MotorStorm, and Resistance Fall of Man for $400. And, yeah, I mean, that's... Sony has always said in the past that, like, it's very difficult for them to drop the price of the console, and they would rather just pack in games. Could this be in lieu of the price drop? It certainly seems that way. I mean, do you think that this is a great deal now?
Do I think it's a great deal? You know, does Resistance have an online community?
Resistance
1 as a game. Are there people playing it online against each other?
Is there an online mode in Resistance Fall of Man?
Yeah.
I don't even remember playing it.
So I guess that answers that question. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Now I have to look that up, because I don't think there... I don't know. Did I ever play online in Resistance? I don't think it has one. I'm pretty sure... Oh, no, it does. It definitely does.
I was like, it does. Make me look stupid in front of the company.
Sorry. My internet is all slow right now. I can't do any research while I'm doing the show. My internet is all jacked up.
That sucks. But anyway, I mean, I think it's
there's
not
two $30 games.
I was gonna say basically. They're not new games. I mean, yeah, it's a nice offer. It's a nice deal. It is. It's $60 worth of games for, you know. So you, I guess it's basically getting $460 worth of console for $400. Yeah. Is that what we're talking about here? Really?
Yeah, but there's been a lot of deals recently too. With like you get a free. There was a deal this week actually. I think from. I don't know, what is it, Best Buy, where they're throwing in, I got to look this up, and my internet's all screwed up now, making it difficult, but I think one of the retailers this week is throwing in your choice of, yeah, Best Buy, if you buy a PS3 this week, you get your choice of Little Big Planet, MLB 09, or Killzone 2.
That's what they should do. They should throw in Killzone 2 and that badass PlayStation 3 headset.
That would be awesome.
That's a bundle.
That's a good deal. That's a bundle.
And maybe actually component cables.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that should come in the box.
Right. Yeah.
A headset so, and component cables. That's the bundle I want to see for the PlayStation 3.
It seems like an okay deal, but like, you know, everyone's complaining, like, when's the PS3 price drop coming? The developers, publishers putting a lot of pressure on Sony. And if this is Sony's response, I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed. A lot of people in the industry and a lot of customers will be disappointed. Going back to the Best of the Sunday ad deals this week that end on Saturday the 21st. I mentioned the Best Buy offer. Toys R Us, buy one, get one, $20 off on all $40, $39.99 and up Wii 360 and PS3 games. And Call of Duty World at War for PS3 and 360 is $30 at Kmart. And that's pretty much it. That is pretty much it for this week. Lastly, in game shopping news, it looks like there's going to be another standalone disc for Guitar Hero. Game Crazy has a Guitar Hero Van Halen listed in their system with an August 31st release date. It's getting a little ridiculous with all that extra shit. Why isn't this downloadable content? Who wants to keep swapping discs? So annoying.
It probably has something to do with the artists themselves wanting it on a disc.
Why would that? Why?
Because that's how they like it.
I think they make more money this way. I think it's very difficult for them to charge $60 for downloadable content, but an extra for a disc, they can get away with it. But for convenience sake and from the customer's perspective, it sucks.
Well, go write a nasty letter to Eddie Van Halen. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you.
Or sell us the disc and, you know, then let me download the song so I don't need to use the disc anymore.
That would work, too.
Or give me a code with the disc.
How do you know it won't?
I don't know, but who knows? I don't know.
You're very angry
let's move
to
on. That Capcom thing really annoys me.
Who do you think you are, Wombat?
You know what annoyed me about it?
What annoyed
was
you?
Not, I mean, everything annoyed me about it, but what annoyed me about it the most was that response about the budgets. I mean, it's like, all right, let's throw some financial shit in your face, and because a lot of our customers are, you know, probably under 18 or around 18 and may not be that savvy, they'll just be all confused by it, and they'll throw up their hands and say, oh, okay.
Well, you know, separate budget, separate teams. I mean, that makes perfect sense now. I mean, I completely understand. No, it's not really separate teams. They all work for Capcom.
They didn't say separate teams. They said budgets.
Yeah, it's stupid. And it is.
It's a bullshit answer. And, you know, if you're going to give a bullshit response, you're better off giving no response. Just don't say anything, okay? That's what I think. Think I'm going to be invited again on the Capcom podcast?
Probably not.
It's okay. I got plenty of shit to do.
I bet you do.
Those Pornhub movies don't watch themselves.
Exactly. Yes.
Come on.
Taking dumps and watching porn is a full-time job.
I've been masturbating a lot recently because...
you can?
There's that. And my prostate is hurting. And I remember my doctor... I once had prostatitis. It's like an inflamed prostate. And the doctor asked me how many times I have sex or masturbate a week. And This is a while ago, so I don't remember what my answer was. I'm guessing I said, you know, I wanted to say something that wasn't too disgusting or, you know, or too unbelievable. So I probably said like three. And the doctor said, I remember the doctor said that wasn't enough, that he told me that I should be masturbating more because that releases pressure on the prostate. Anyway, I'm going to the doctor next week. I have a full physical scheduled for next week.
Excellent.
Including, and I asked for this specifically so I could talk about it on the show. I asked for the shit test package. So I have to bring in my shit and piss. I have to bring in my shit and piss while I'm at to the doctor.
You would have brought it anyway.
And I'm going to get a finger up my ass.
I can't wait. Doctor, why are both your hands on my shoulders?
Oh, what, are you using the whole fist there, Doc? Okay, let's see. Where are we, Wombat? Microsoft. That's where
we
are.
Yeah, we're actually talking about video games. Only an hour and 10 minutes into the show.
Right. So one of the comments on last week's show was, did you guys even talk about games this week?
And the answer is no.
I don't care, even. Like, I don't talk about games because I like games, but it's, you know, I like talking about a lot of
things. The show is about gamer culture.
Exactly. And fingers in my ass.
And fingers in the butthole. Moon River.
Dr. Rosen. I gotta watch that again.
That's a great movie.
That's a great movie. Fletch is awesome. If you've never seen Fletch, I mean, that's Chevy Chase's.
That's his best movie. It is his best movie.
No. Second. What about Caddyshack?
Yeah, but is Caddyshack really a Chevy Chase movie?
Nah, it's Rodney Dangerfield is better in Caddyshack.
No, Ted Knight is better in Caddyshack. Caddyshack is Ted Knight. Awesome. It's his movie.
And Rodney. Come on.
No,
Rodney's
it's
awesome
Ted Knight. I'm sorry. There is no funnier character than Judge Smales in the history of cinema.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I know.
That's true. I just watched it again. Where are we? Microsoft, we talked about Resident Evil 5. You said you loved it. You bought it for the Xbox 360.
It's great.
Are you playing online co-op at all?
Well, no, I haven't played any online co-op yet. And I really wish that... I don't know how to describe it. When you're playing alone, you really do have to pay attention to Shiva. And I wish that she was a little more self-reliant. Like, I really don't want to have to pay attention. I would have preferred the single-player game to be more single-player.
It seems like you lose a lot of the survival horror elements of the game.
It's not even that you don't. You don't really... It's not really the issue. It's just, you know, I just don't care.
You don't need a partner. You're not looking for a partner. It would be cool to have a partner if you're going to play online with your friend. But if you're playing single player, you're playing single player.
Exactly. And I'm, you know, when it comes to a game like a story-based game, I'm a solitary guy. I really prefer to be alone. I have nothing to say to another human being whilst playing a game for more than 10 minutes. And yet, I don't need to play a game for an hour of awkward silence. Other than, got any ammo? Any ammo?
Is that how she talks?
No. Yes, that's how she talks. She's a deaf mute. I need more ammo.
Down syndrome.
Yeah. So okay. I mean, you know, so I don't need that. But but overall, I mean, the game is great. The game does have a lot of similarities to Resident Evil 4. One of my complaints about Resident Evil 5, the demo, was that it made the game seem like you were always backed in a corner with zombies coming at you nonstop. Mm-hmm. Where's the, you know, when you're just kind of walking down a hallway and there's only like 3 zombies and you're like, oh crap, there's a lot
compared
more
to
of
RE4,
that in the
game.
Mean.
Oh, there is. Okay.
The majority of the game is you walking down like a hallway and there's like just one zombie up ahead and you're like, oh, I got like 3 bullets. So, you know, so that is still there and that is good. I do miss the shopkeeper.
What are you buying?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that character really became the most iconic character of Resident Evil 4 and to not find a way to sneak him in there.
He was so annoying. That's why he became...
Whatever, it's a crime. Not that. What are you buying? What are you selling? I'll buy it at a high price. That was great. And I want him
back.
That's
what I asked the Capcom is, what are you selling with this $5 bullshit?
What are you selling? $5 multiplayer.
Right. Fuck off.
Exactly. But overall,
but you recommend it.
I do recommend
it. I will not buy it new because I'm too upset. I will try to. I know the Japanese version has English, so I will look for a used copy around here eventually. I'm in no rush to get it. Maybe we'll even play together, Warm.
That would be fine by me. But yes, I am enjoying it very much, and I'm looking forward to upgrading. I want to upgrade my handgun fully. because I really like using the pistol. I think it's there's something satisfying about it. That's the other thing about this game that I think really works with the control scheme. I know a lot of people complain about it, but I'm going to actually talk about a positive about it. When you fire the gun and hit something, you really feel it because you can't move. There's something very visceral about having to stand still, really take your time and measure your shot and get that guy right in the forehead.
I heard Capcom has a patch coming out that where you could move, you'll be able to actually move and shoot, but it costs $5.
if that happened, that would be crazy. But anyway, I like the game very much. I do think it is worth $60. Of course, I didn't actually pay real money for it. I got it with trading credit, but you know, it's all the same.
Okay. In Microsoft, you wanted to talk about Hasbro Game Night. You brought that up earlier.
Yeah. Have you been following this at all?
No, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, my God. This is my deal. This is my multiplayer $5 DLC of the week rant. basically, what you do, and I did this before the show, you download the Family Game Night room. And once you get into the room, all it really is like a skin, you know, and it takes you to an area where from there you can then go and buy the individual games for the game room.
Okay, so the game room is free.
The game room is free. And it's Mr. Potato Head, and he floats around. He says, what would you like to play? And you can check the marketplace. And the games that are available as of today are Scrabble, Yahtzee, Battleship, and Kinect 4.
All games that I just can't wait to play on a $300 video game console.
Exactly. And how much do these games cost? $10 each.
I mean, how much does Kinect 4 cost if you buy the actual board game?
I looked it up on ToysRUs.com, and they sell the travel version for $6.
Okay.
I think you could get the full version for under $10. I believe you could also get Battleship for $8. Scrabble you can't get for less than $10, at least not on ToysRUs.com. And Yahtzee, I believe they did have a version that was also $10. So
Kinect 4 is $15 at Amazon. Even that's a ripoff. Yeah. I mean, it's that plastic shit. It probably costs $1 to make that whole game.
Anyway, $10 for Kinect 4.
It's pretty funny. If you buy that, I mean, man, you must be loaded.
The response I've been getting from a lot of listeners on my Twitter is, well, my kids want to play a game, and Kinect 4 is a good game for your kids to play. Don't insult your kids' intelligence by buying them Kinect 4 on the Xbox. You know what? Buy them.
No, buy them. Spend the extra $5.
No, just buy them Kinect 4 and play with
them.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Sit outside. Enjoy the fresh air. Play Kinect 4 there.
That's the best part of Kinect 4 is the physical nature of the game. Is putting the tape, picking up the piece, putting it in the thing, watching it come down, the noises it makes, you know, playing with the little discs. I mean, that's Kinect 4.
That is Kinect 4.
That's the whole fun of it. And same with Battleship.
You know what? I didn't even think of it that way, but you're 100% correct. You lose so much by making it a game that's, you know, a video game. It just doesn't work, and you're so right. And just to charge $10 for it, I played the demo for Kinect 4. Besides the fact, it's a time demo. So you only get to put in three pieces before the game goes, all right.
It's so stupid. I mean, none of these games are particularly... I mean, Kinect 4 is not exactly, like, an interesting game. It's you know, it's like we're tic-tac-toe for retarded people.
Now, they do also make this for the Wii, where it comes with all the four games I mentioned, plus Sorry and Sorry Sliders, which would be two more games.
Oh,
so that's six games, and that's $40 for six games. And that, thanks to our friend Roland on the forums, let me know that has sold over 240,000 copies.
On the Wii?
On the Wii.
You're kidding.
No.
How long has that been out for?
That's been out for a few months, I believe.
Wait, that's on virtual console?
No,
that's a
disc release.
Wow.
The $40 disc release on the Wii has sold 240,000 copies. Now,
but even still, man, I'd rather play the board games out of all of these. I mean,
I like
none of these games are like
board game.
You know,
not only that, but you can play all these games, well, versions of these games for free online.
I can understand, like, some games are annoying to set up and to manage, like Monopoly. Like, it takes a lot of effort to, like, set up the money and do all that shit. But, you know, Connect Four, Sorry. I mean, these are all simple games. Anyway, maybe we shouldn't talk about this anymore.
Just so you know, the Hasbro Family Game Night on the Wii sold 254,000 copies disc. They also make a disc-based version for the PS2, and that sold 17,000 copies.
It goes to show you the different audiences.
It sure does. It'll be very interesting to see on, I think it's Tuesday, Major Nelson releases the live activity for arcade games to see where any of these games rank.
I'd be very disappointed if they're anywhere near the top 10.
If Kinect 4 is on that list, I'm going to weep.
Instead of buying those games, what you should be buying is Peggle. And that is basically the only game between that and Killzone 2, those are the only two games I've played since the last show.
I've only played Resident Evil 5. I don't have a leg to stand on. I popped that game in. I played that game every night since I bought it. So
Peggle, I said I wasn't going to buy Peggle, but I wanted to show my mother-in-law when she was here because I thought she'd be interested maybe a little. So I wound up buying the whole thing, and I do not regret it one bit. I've finished the adventure mode, single-player adventure mode. There's also a challenge mode where it's like a ton of different difficult challenges, like a huge list of different stuff you got to do. You know, and the game is a very simple game. It's basically like Pachinko, but with a little more skill base, where you're just shooting a ball off of different colored pegs and trying to hit the different pegs. But the game also, I think someone on Twitter sent me a message, and because I wrote that I was having a lot of fun with the multiplayer modes of the game, and they didn't even know that there was multiplayer in the game. There's actually two different modes, online multiplayer modes in Peggle. One is a one-on-one duel, which you alternate turns on the same board. And you have to hit the orange pegs. If you don't hit an orange peg, you lose, I think, 25% of your score. And that's pretty fun. And there's also a four-player mode where everybody goes on the same time and they all have their own board. And it's, you know, score-based. And it's fun. And it's difficult. There's people are really good at this game, especially...
How much extra was the multiplayer mode?
It was $0.
Interesting pricing concept.
And I think... I don't know for sure, and I won't be able to find out because my internet is so screwed up. But I remember Capcom, another one of Capcom's excuses for the $5 DLC was that there's never been an online versus mode in Resident Evil before, which is why they charge $5 for it. I don't think there's ever been an online mode in Peggle before. And this is the first time. So they didn't charge extra for it somehow. Somehow, I guess they're able to do their budget in such a way.
So if you only have $10 to spend on one live arcade game right now, you recommend that people go out and buy Connect 4?
Connect 4, yes. No, but Peggle's awesome. It's very addictive. And, you know, it's great. I love it. Also, Microsoft News, BioWare has officially announced Mass Effect 2. Hooray! One of my favorite games.
Yeah, it's a timed exclusive. One.
Oh, it is. See, I haven't actually read the article.
It's coming out
yet,
on
so
the 360 and the PC, and the PS3 is coming out at a later date, I believe. Yeah.
I see you've linked to GayGamer.net.
I did. That was the first place where I saw the article again. So, but yeah.
That was good. Boys who like joysticks.
It just shows you that they're on my Google Reader. So there you go. They've made my list of websites I frequent.
Because you like boys who like joysticks.
I do like boys who like joysticks. You got a problem with that? Do you have something against gay people? That's what I'm asking you.
No.
Is that a problem for you that I will go to a website that's called Gay Gamer to get video games?
I go to it. I like it.
Why are you a homophobe? What is your problem?
All right. I hate gays. You have me.
Yeah, I'm a little happy now.
They say Mass Effect 2 is coming out early 2010.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
I don't see where it says it's a timed exclusive.
I read it on another website. That was just where I linked from.
A straight website?
Yes. A breeder website.
Also, there is... What's this next item? Why don't you do this next item?
Well, it does say the scheduled release date for ME2 on the Xbox 360 and the PC is early 2010.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there. Did you watch this? I put this on there assuming that you would watch it.
I did watch it. Why don't you tell people what it is?
It's for the new game made by The Behemoth, who are the makers of Alien Hominid and Castle Crashers. The game doesn't have a title yet, but the game looks freaking awesome.
Well, I've noticed that you put this in the Microsoft section of the show, but it has not been announced what platform this game is for.
Well, I mean, so far of the two previous games they've made, they've released them on the Xbox 360 Live Arcade.
It's a pretty safe bet.
I'm just going based off of history. I'm making an educated guess that this game.
I agree with your guess, Wombat.
So, but it does look pretty sweet, though, doesn't it?
It looks a lot like cloning Clyde. It doesn't look like it, but it reminds me. It reminded me of cloning Clyde.
See, that's funny because I didn't get that at all. What it looks to me like, obviously, it's a multiplayer online type of affair with two guys running around, each changing the colors of the walls.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Wombat, and I'm going to complain here again. Castle Crashers was so screwed up online for so long that I'm not buying this game until I know for sure it works. Like, I bought Castle Crashers at launch, and I wanted to play online, and I just couldn't. And they finally patched it, like, not so long ago. The game's been out forever. So they better get their shit together on this online nonsense because, you know, I bet you the game's... What did Castle Crashers cost? $15?
Well, I think it was,
So they better get their shit together. They better, you know, fool me once. What does George Bush say? Fool me once.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again.
Right, that's... Okay. All right, let's move on to Sony.
Yes.
Now, we talked a little bit earlier about the new bundle that's coming in lieu of a price drop. And Sony is getting tired of people asking for a PS3 price drop. Senior Vice President of Marketing, Peter Dill, made a comment. And, you know, another prime example of fantastic PR by the Sony team. Here's what Peter has to say. Everybody in the development community would love for the PS3 to be free, he sighs, so they could just sell Razer Blades. Now, in case you don't know what he's referring to, he's referring to the Razer Blade model, where the company, you know, where Gillette will sell the actual Razer in the store fairly cheap, so then because they know that you need to buy the Razer Blades, and then the Razer Blades are pretty expensive. This is pretty damn insulting. If I'm a game developer, and a guy like this said that to me, I would be pretty damn insulted. I mean, first of all, the same company that makes the Razer makes the Razer Blades. This is not the way it works in the video game world, okay? Also, Razer Blades are mass-produced at a factory. You design it once, and you pull the lever, and that's it. You're talking about, you know, games are basically, you know, it's like a huge creative endeavor. And to compare it to a manufacturing of a Razer Blade is damn insulting. I mean, I guarantee you developers were insulted by that. I guarantee it.
Do you guarantee it?
I guarantee you. I'll give you your money back for this show if I'm wrong.
I will be sending you a letter, a bill, an invoice, they say.
Yeah. So I don't. Sony just, they need help. They need you, Wombat. They need a Wombat filter, okay? To just, when they're about to release something to the media, they should just tell you first. They should whisper it in your ear, Wombat, and you can say,
I wouldn't say that, sir. I would even be polite about it. I wouldn't say that, sir. And they would look back at me and go, are you sure? And I go, yeah, maybe you should say this instead.
Maybe you should say, here's what they should have said. While we would love to drop the price of the PS3, at this point, we are unable to do so. We still feel that our customers are getting great value for their gaming dollar.
I wouldn't even mention the phrase price drop and not be able to do it. I would have just said the second half and just say, we believe that's currently fine. The PlayStation 3 is the best value for the dollar on the market considering what we offer in each package.
And we're offering it for as low, as cheap as we can or something. I mean, I don't know.
Don't even say that. You don't have to say that. You could say, what you get when you purchase a PlayStation 3, it is the best value on the market. True or not, agree or disagree, that's the answer you give when someone asks you about a price drop on any product you're selling. We feel it's an excellent value at its current price. We don't understand why anyone would want it for, you know, or whatever. Just... right now, at the current price we have, it's great to buy it now.
Well, that's why you should have the job and not me.
Yes.
Okay, also in Sony news, your favorite game, Wombat Pain, is having a new celebrity character.
Yeah, I won't be getting this one.
You won't be getting Andy Dick?
No. I didn't even listen to his episode on the Adam Carolla podcast, which is quite good, by the way. Have you listened to it yet?
No, I don't listen. I listen to Howard Stern.
I know, that's why I figured you might like it. I know Howard Stern's a fan of Adam Carolla.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't listen to it either.
It is the most listened to podcast in iTunes history.
Do you know why?
Because he has a lot behind him.
Because he had a big radio show.
I'm just saying.
He was on a big radio show in Los Angeles.
I'm not saying why. I'm just stating the fact that I think 3 million downloads a week is pretty damn impressive.
It's good. He could be making a shitload of money. Does he have ads on there yet?
He can't. He can't make money from the show because he's still under contract from the radio show that he got canned from.
Oh, so he's still getting paid.
He's still getting paid at the wazoo, so he really doesn't care.
But 3 million downloads, okay? That's a lot.
That's ridiculous. It's the most downloaded podcast. He does do one a day. He does do 5 shows a week.
That's oh, so wait, so it's 3 million downloads a show week?
Is it 3? No, I don't think it's 3 million per show. I think it's 3 million over the week. So you would have to do 3 million divided by 5. His most listened to single episode, he said, got 650,000 downloads, though, which is pretty impressive.
Didn't Major Nelson say that he gets like 250,000 downloads a show?
Yeah, I think so.
Something seems off there. Yeah, but how is Major Nelson? How is Adam Carolla only getting, you know, that much more?
I don't know. But his episode with Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy, which was on today, was pretty good.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Do you have anything else for Sony besides me talking about Andy Dick and ripping on their marketing guy? How does the vice president of marketing make such a stupid statement? He's in marketing.
I don't know. He's an idiot. Did you hear this about our favorite game, Ninja Gaiden?
Oh, it's Ninja Gaiden 2. Oh, wait, Ninja, what is this?
Ninja Gaiden 2. Remember when Itagaki said that to release the game on the PlayStation 3 would ruin the game and it would be a terrible idea? And then they fired him?
Like, it would ruin his honor.
Yeah,
right?
It would ruin it. Yeah, so now he's been fired and now it's coming out on the PlayStation 3. Ninja Gaiden 2 Sigma.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of funny that it actually is going to be coming. Funny. And who knows if it'll be any better or have any added content. That hasn't been confirmed yet. But again, I thought I don't know if it's necessarily ironic, but it is kind of funny.
Right. Yep. Well, he's out of the picture, so they can do whatever they
want. Exactly. And I wonder do you think his name will be on it in the credits?
It has to be. It's got to be. I mean,
it doesn't have to be.
Somewhere. Well, he worked on it. Okay. I don't know. Who cares? I don't even care. Who cares about that guy? What is he doing now?
Whoring.
Going to sex clubs?
Yes.
All right. On to Nintendo. We already talked about GTA Chinatown Wars, and it's been getting ridiculous reviews. I mean, the game is very good. I'm sure. But there's definitely that Rockstar Grand Theft Auto bias that jacks the score up 10%.
You know, it's a very good game. I have it. I like it.
Okay. What else? What's this next item you have here at Wombat?
Did you not read this either?
I read it, but I'm trying to give you something to do.
Okay. Yeah. What is this crap? So according to, what is it, Mid-Missouri, whatever the hell it is?
Who?
The people who came up with this. Yes, the Mid-Missouri Internet Crimes Task Force, in an interview with the Missouri local TV affiliate, were warning parents about adults talking to their children whilst playing Animal Crossing on the Wii.
Don't you need friend codes to do
you
that?
You do. It's very difficult for a stranger to contact someone else on... I don't think it's possible for a stranger. And the best part was they said that there is no reason for an adult to own this game.
I agree.
That the only reason an adult would own this game would be because they're a pedophile.
I agree.
I kind of agree, too. The best is if you watch the news clip, which isn't on the article I sent you, they show, like, the actual, like, your Animal Crossing little dude talking to Tortimer, the mayor turtle, and the news reporter points to the turtle and was like, that could be the predator that your child is talking to.
So now, he's turtling right now.
Tortimer the turtle is now a pedophile for anyone who's ever watched that, and it's really funny. So,
right.
Mid-Missouri. As if anyone, what are there, six people in Mid-Missouri? What is the Mid-Missouri Internet Task Force consist of?
They're all trying to pick up elementary school kids playing Animal Crossing.
The one guy in Missouri with a computer. He's the founder of the Mid-Missouri.
Right. It's a very important story for the news there. There's nothing else going on in the world. There's no war that we're fighting in a foreign country, or the economy's not in shambles. There's one guy who's trying to pick up elementary school kids playing Animal Crossing and can't even do it because of the friend code system. But it's a very useful story. It's great. Also, Wombat, if you are you a member of the club? Are you a platinum member of Club Nintendo, Wombat?
I don't even know what a platinum member consists of.
I don't know either. You need a certain number of points, I'm sure. I'm sure Shipwreck is a member.
I'm sure. You know, I haven't registered one game on Club Nintendo.
You loser.
I am. I'm a gigantic loser.
Only pedophiles are in Club Nintendo.
I am sure they are.
Any adult that's in Club Nintendo is in Club Nintendo for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure of it.
Yes.
Anyway, if you are a Club Nintendo Platinum member,
you know who fits that profile? Shipwreck.
Yes. Hey, dude, he coaches high school girls.
No,
basketball.
It's not even high school girls. It's like 8-year-old girls basketball, He carries around a bunch of video games with him all the time.
Right. And lollipops.
And he likes to hang out in his basement.
Doesn't he drive a van around on the side?
A white van with no windows in the back.
Free candy, it says right on the side. All right, Shipwreck. We're just kidding, Shipwreck. He doesn't really own the van.
I'm not kidding.
He owns the van. It doesn't say free candy on the side.
It says free ice cream.
Anyway, if you are a Club Nintendo Platinum member, you can get an exclusive early look at the DSi. There'll be certain event locations, and they're going to let you know where you can have a little sneak preview. I'll give you a sneak preview right now of the DSi. It's just like the DS Lite. It's a tiny bit smaller. The screen is a tiny bit bigger. It has two shitty cameras. And it has an SD port, and you can download some games that you won't be interested in. There it is. There's your free preview. You don't even need to be in the Club Nintendo for my preview, Wombat.
Thank you for the update.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, Wombat, let's do a little bit of Kags on News.
Yeah.
Now, you put this story on here, Wombat, and I saw it as well. And this is big news for me. I'm very excited about this. And that is Tribes, the old PC game Tribes, is coming to instantaction.com, which is Garage Games browser-based gaming service. You can play games in your internet browser. And Tribes is an old first-person shooter. Let's see, when is this from? 1998. And it was one of my favorite games. And I bet you it still holds up well. I really enjoyed Tribes. I will definitely be playing this. I've already registered my account on instantaction.com, and it looks like, I don't know, they don't say when the game's coming, but you'll be able to, if you're at the Game Developers Conference in San Fran, you'll be able to play it there. You going to play Tribes with me?
I will play Tribes with you.
Cool. It's so fun. You get the big fatty guy with the mortars. You go, clunk, clunk.
If I'm playing as anyone, it'll probably be as the big fatty guy.
Yes, Wombat. Okay, So that's great news. Why don't you do this IGA story, Wombat? I didn't read it. Do the next two stories. The last two stories there.
The IGA is a pretty basic one. It's just that in-game advertising has not... they haven't said that they're going to be, but they haven't denied either that they are trying to sell the company.
Okay.
So they lost $11 million in 2007, $26 million in 2008.
Holy moly. Well, advertising, I think, is hurting everywhere pretty much.
Yeah, yes. But, advertising is doing poorly like everywhere, and it looks like in-game advertising is one of those things. In-game advertising, the company, as well as the methodology. I haven't seen an ad in a game in a long time. Have you?
Well, I'm in Japan, and usually those ads are they're based on your IP address, so I usually don't see any.
Well, there you go. But it's very funny because I remember a year ago you and I talking about how the wave of the future is going to be advertising in games, and how we'll probably be seeing a lot more of it to cover development costs. But it looks like advertisers just don't want it. So,
well, you know, when the economy is hurting like this and companies need to cut back, one of the things they're going to do is they're going to cut back on, like, less tried and true methods of advertising. I mean, they're going to cut back on advertising overall. So certainly, you know, if they have a choice between advertising on TV, which is, you know, been around forever, or advertising in a video game, you know, which one do you think is going to get cut?
TV, of course.
No. See, that's why.
Oh.
That's why you're about to be
fired.
Oh,
I was wrong. I had no idea.
All right, do the next story.
Okay. A publisher called Gazillion has inked a 10-year deal to make Marvel games. And one of them that they will be working on is the Marvel Universe MMO.
That was canceled.
Well, it was canceled because someone, it was a Cryptic that was working on it originally.
I don't remember.
I believe it was Cryptic.
Okay.
So, I don't know, Marvel Universe MMO, do we need it? Is anyone asking for it?
I don't know. It seems like it's really tough to make a successful MMO.
A successful MMO?
Well, EverQuest, I think, is still around. And
EVE Online does pretty well. But it really, other than World of Warcraft, no one's ever been able to match the World of Warcraft dollars. Right.
There's a Star Trek one coming.
Yeah, do you think?
And Star Wars.
Well, there was a Star Wars one before, too. Remember how awful it was? And it failed miserably.
Right. Well, there's the Knights of the Old Republic one. Yeah.
Yes, there will be another one. I just don't know if there really is the market for MMOs that the industry thinks there is for MMOs.
It's just tough. It costs a lot of money, and it seems like a really huge risk.
I mean, I'd much rather have the new Marvel Ultimate Alliance than play a Marvel MMO, which I'm getting anyway. I'll be getting the new Marvel Ultimate Alliance when it comes out probably this fall, and I look forward to it. So,
okay. One last item for Kegs on News Wombat. I thought this was pretty funny, is that the U.S. government, in its part of its anti-drug campaign, is targeting gamers. Basically, the big worry, and you need to actually watch the videos for the enjoyment factor. Basically saying that, you know, if you smoke weed, you will be bad at video games, and that you won't be a good teammate, and that, you know, you won't be able to do raids in World of Warcraft properly because you'll be too high, which is, you know, it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, weed in video games are like, you know, spaghetti and tomato sauce.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right. You got to watch the ads.
I'll watch it.
It's very funny. Let's move on to the CAG bag, Wombat, and your new section of the CAG bag, which I think needs a new name.
Oh, I like the name.
You're calling it... What?
I like the name.
You like It Came From Twitter?
It Came From Twitter!
But isn't that just a ripoff of Attack of the Show when they do It Came From eBay?
Oh, I didn't know they did that.
Yes, I think you did.
Oh.
How about that? I have a new potential name.
Okay, what is it?
Show me your twats.
Fine.
No?
You know, whatever. Yeah, hey, a twicker.
Okay, well, that show me your twat. No, twat, I think, is the proper word.
Fine. This one comes from Ooh Gravy You.
This one's too hard. I can't, unless you have answers for these. I won't have answers.
Well, he just wants. I'm jumping back into the Xbox 360 and getting a bunch of old games at GameStop. What are your top five games since release on the 360? Your top five cheap picks. I mean, do you want to? We could do a combined list of five. How's that? That might work. Because I'm gonna go. Obviously, my first pick would say pick up Oblivion, because you could probably get the Super Edition for like $30 now.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say another game that you could probably find really cheap used is that dual pack of Marvel Ultimate Alliance and was it Project Gotham Racing or that comes on one disc?
Forza.
Is it Forza?
I
want to say whatever, no. Whichever.
I think it's Forza.
Whatever it is, that's a good deal too because you could probably find that for like $12.
Right.
So what do you got?
I don't know. Halo 3.
You could buy Halo.
I don't know. It's
tough. Halo 3 is a video game as well. Crackdown. Gears of War.
Crackdown is pretty cheap at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's too many. Just go to Metacritic and look at the reviews. Don't ask us. I mean, look at the prices. Go to CAG and look at the prices.
Vertigo117 asks, how do you feel about Red Faction Guerrilla doing a pre-order-only demo, considering that it isn't a huge game?
Ah, that's a good question. Now, that I can sink my teeth into.
Yeah, there you go. I knew you would like that one.
Yes, that is a good question. I think you only get a demo if you pre-order at GameStop and Amazon?
Oh, is that?
I'm not sure about Amazon.
I played the beta for this game.
Yeah, there was a multiplayer beta that was available to. I think you just had to sign up at the website, right?
Yeah. I signed up. They sent me a code. It was pretty easy.
I don't know. I mean, I always thought that the purpose of a beta was to try to convince you to purchase the game.
No, the beta was supposed to, you know, be a beta and help find out problems with the online multiplayer.
No, not the, I'm sorry. Not the purpose of the beta. The purpose of the demo.
Yes, that is the purpose of a demo.
Excuse me. Yes, the purpose of a demo is to help cement your decision of whether you're interested in a game or not. Not to, you know, try to suck $5 out of you. So, you know, you put your pre-order money down. I don't really like this trend. I think it's a little bit sneaky. I know you can always cancel your pre-order and stuff like that, but I don't know. Why do people make it difficult for us? Just give us the freaking demo.
Yeah. I don't know.
Think of something else to throw in for
these are your friends.
How about a Red Faction keychain?
These are the guys who made Saints Row. So I think you need to, you know, get in touch with them and find out what the deal is.
They're not my friends. I don't have any
friends.
You
have lots of friends.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't like that trend.
No,
it's not as bad
as
the DLC. It's not as bad as the DLC bullshit trend. It just seems like a bad idea to me. But obviously, you know, what happens is that, you know, GameStop, I'm sure, makes a deal with the company. They say, oh, you throw in, we do this deal with the demo, pre-order only demo, and we'll include you in our flyer that we have in the store that we release. And we send out emails to our customers. We'll throw that in there. It's like extra promotion for the game. So I understand why they do it. I just think, you know, I just like to have the demo without pre-ordering a game.
Sounds good.
And then there's always a way around it. There's always, like, you know, if you log into the UK account or something on the marketplace, you can always get it. It's just like, don't make things difficult. Just give us the freaking demo. All right, should we just move into the regular CAG bag?
Sure.
Before? Oh, I never really.
I was gonna say I have. Well, here's one more that you might like.
Okay.
LFTie23 asks, "I'm writing a small essay on burgers. What is your favorite burger? What kind? And where from?"
You better do this because no one's gonna know my burgers.
I think you should do it anyway. What's your favorite burger?
My favorite burger right now is this place called Pakuchi actually. In Shibuya. I've gone there with Jon Snow and Mark McDonald a couple times, and I think they have the best burger in Tokyo. And the runner up, I think, is a place called Burger Bounce in Tokyo Midtown in Roppongi. Those are my two favorite burgers. You've seen the Pakuchi burger has the tower burger. You've seen that on my Flickr page, I think, before.
Yeah, maybe. I have. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
What about you?
I am a big fan lately. I've been a big fan of the Five Guys burger, which is a chain, actually. So there may be one. Five Guys, yeah. It's not bad for, you know, like a fast foodie kind of burger. It's good. They also have unlimited free toppings, and the toppings are really good, like sautéed onions and mushrooms and stuff. Bacon is extra, but everything else is included. And it's good, and it's kind of cheap, which is why I like it. So that's really good. And I guess on the opposite end of the spectrum is I still do like the DB Bistro burger, which is the $95 burger.
Uh-huh.
Can't go wrong with that you can only get in Manhattan.
All right.
So there you go.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's two opposite ends of the spectrum, a $4 burger and a $100 burger.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Burgers are awesome.
They are. You really can't go wrong. You know where else I like to get a burger from? My own grill.
The Wombat Grill.
The Wombat Grill. With a little bit of guacamole and bacon.
Yes. All right, let's do some regular Cagbag questions. Macklershed wants to know of each of us, if you had to describe yourself to someone who had never seen you before, what celebrity or celebrities would you say you look like?
Now, I don't think it's fair for us to say what celebrities we think we look like. We have to say what celebrities I think you look like and vice versa.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, it's just like, you know, yeah, Tom Cruise, of course.
All right, well, okay, so you go for me now. You tell me who I
would say for you, you either look like Telly Savalas.
Telly Savalas.
Or anyone right. that's ever played Lex Luthor.
No. I've been told that when I still had hair, I was told I looked like Brendan Fraser.
No.
No, I'm telling you, yeah, I was told.
I know. So who do I look like?
Nobody.
Let's see.
I don't know. You look like you know who you look like? You look like Kevin Smith.
Thanks. When I was in college, I was told that. Well, when I was in college, I was skinnier. I was told I looked a little like Tobey Maguire when I was thin.
Oh my God, Tobey Spider-Man.
Yeah, and now that I'm fat, I get told I look like John Belushi. Which
I was gonna say, you told that you look like you ate Tobey Maguire.
Would you eat Tobey Maguire? And I said yes.
Okay. You know, I forgot to put more Cagbag questions down, but I'm on
this show. This show's 2 hours long anyway. I think we have time for one more good question anyway.
Okay, we'll pick up someone. There's always the weed. What's up with the weed questions, Juan? But everybody's got weed questions. That was a quick one. Vago23 says, Cheapy, you talk about smoking, and I wonder if you still partake while in Japan.
Well, you've answered this question like 7 times. Forget it.
Okay, no. The answer is no.
It doesn't matter. Listen to the show. How's that?
Oh, somebody, hey, Darth Groovy writes in, and this is not a question, but this is a good comment. He said that he's a fan of the show, and he's a manager of a GameStop store, and that I had mentioned that I thought GameStop should have, and all stores that do trade-ins on games, should have a separate trading counter, because, you know, if I go to buy a game at GameStop, and the guy in front of me is trading in 30 games, I'm ready to kill somebody.
Yeah, I do hate that quite a bit, actually.
And it's so slow, and I've walked out of the store sometimes. I'm like, I'll just go. I mean, there's so many stores that sell video games now. Like, I don't need to wait. I shouldn't have to wait anywhere. So Darth Groovy says that there are some stores of the future. Like, they're like, you know, specialty GameStops. They're like, they're doing tests and stuff. And these GameStop stores of the future have separate trade-in counters at the back of the store. Test stores is what it's called.
Yes, I understand.
So that is very cool. I don't know. Anything else?
I think we're ready for housekeeping. Wrap it up? Yeah, it's way past my bedtime.
Okay. Well, somebody... Okay. So I'll, all right. I was going to talk about the new iPhone 3.0 software, but maybe not. It's not out yet. We'll wait till it's out. I mean, I didn't think anything was terribly exciting about it, and you always need to see how that shit's implemented.
And I don't have an iPhone, so I really could care less.
Right. Mysterine says, calls me Jewbald the Pirate, to go with your Jewbeard the Pirate.
Oh, I get it.
And Thorbon 3 dares me to download at least one WiiWare title. That I'm missing out on a lot of great games, like Lost Wind, Strong Bad, and World of Goo.
I would say you're missing out on World of Goo.
Oh, there's plenty of goo.
I know there. Yes. Well, you have that prostate problem.
I do. Ugh, I'm really looking forward to that finger in the ass while I'm at. I couldn't sit. Last time I had that, it hurt to sit down for like 2 weeks. Oh man.
Yes.
All right. I guess that's the show then.
Well, we have housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Just a minute. Housekeeping.
Come on
you
in.
You want mint for pillow?
It's open. Come on in.
Oh, okay. All right. I want to remind everybody, we're still doing this Netflix thing. We talked a lot about movies for Indiana Jones, and you can go to Netflix.com and rent DVDs on there if you have an Xbox 360. And even I heard there's a way to do it on the PS3 as well. You can use the Instant Watch feature. Through your consoles using Netflix. So you can just like stream movies. If you want a free trial of Netflix, go to netflix.com/cagcast.
Yeah, help me pay my bills. Go to netflix.com/cagcast.
Yeah.
And sign up today for a free trial. Wombat has a baby that needs food.
Wombat's baby needs food badly.
Poor Sabrina.
Also,
we were playing before the show, before she went to bed, and she was. We have a leather ottoman in the living room, and she was holding herself up on the leather ottoman. And I turned my head for like 2 seconds, and she slid down and just fell down. Poor Sabrina.
Yeah, babies fall a lot.
Yeah. That doesn't mean I have to it. I'm like nine out of ten times I catch her. Like I'm good at getting at the catching, but today I just completely missed.
Oh no, I think they need to learn. So you should just let
that's
them
what
fall.
My wife says. She says no, you're supposed to let her fall. I'm like, but I don't want her to fall. I don't know.
Ty now walks. You know, he's walking a lot. I have a new video up on YouTube.com/Tyspot, and you know he walks. We'll take him outside for a walk now. Now it's nice out. 70 degrees out today. So yesterday I took him home from daycare, and it's a long walk. And if I let him walk home from daycare, it would literally take 2 hours. When I get close to the apartment, I take him out of my little sling and I let him walk home. And it was so windy out yesterday that he was getting blown over by the wind. It was pretty funny. And all the old ladies were walking by and they were laughing and having fun.
Okay.
I want to remind people that they can follow us on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/, and you can do any of these usernames, CheapyD, Wombat5277, or Shipwreck, or CagCast, or if you're looking for video game deals, video game deals.
And don't forget Jimmy Fallon Friday.
Right. And if you're in the UK and or any place in Europe, really, that you can order from UK retailers, go to twitter.com/UK game deals. I know John is always updating that. In fact, one of the new features on CAG is we can automatically send tweets to our game thing. Anyway, who cares? Well, Wombat, another show under the belt.
In the can, as they say.
In the can, Wombat. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. Yes, we will see you next week.
Was that a question?
Or Sunday. No, I guess we will see
you. We will
you
see
next
us
week.
Next
or
week
maybe...
if we do the show on Tuesday night. We probably won't have a show the week after that because I'll be in Florida from next Thursday through Tuesday.
Oh. So you're bringing Sabrina?
Yes, she's going to see the in-laws.
Wow, her first big trip.
First big trip on an airplane. My in-laws live an hour outside of Disney. Is it mean that my wife and I are planning to go to Disney and leaving the baby with grandma and grandpa for the day while we enjoy Disney alone?
That's awesome. Dude, I went to a love hotel with my wife.
Yeah, but Disney is like a bang. Kid's place. I mean, yeah, she's only 8 months old.
Oh. She can't appreciate that.
Yeah, that's true. So
you're going to be eating those giant turkey drumsticks. I love those
things.
Going. You know, there's Disney World in Tokyo, and we've never gone.
You should so go. I love Disney. I don't care how cliche it is. I love Disney.
They actually have a special Disney. They have the Disney World, like the regular thing with the, you know, Space Mountain and all that shit. But they also have something here that's, I think, exclusive to Japan called Disney at Sea, which is supposed to be more targeted for adults. And I've heard good things about it.
So go, you bastard.
I can't go. It's like, I don't know. Wish my parents moved here for like a month.
Okay, be careful what you wish for.
No, I mean, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all a mess.
Okay, I will talk to you later.
All right. I'm all sad now. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. See ya. Bye.
The name of the game is Connect Four.
Gotcha. Four cross. One more game.
Object, connect four of your checkers in a row while preventing your opponent from doing the same. But look out, your opponent can sneak up on you and win the game.
I win.
Where? I can't.
Here, diagonally.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Connect Four, the vertical checkers game from Milton Bradley.